Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Everything's too short. I found that out when I was 12. Now you might be saying, you wonder, hey, where does he go shopping for these wonderful clothes? Well, today, as you can see up there, this is what we're going to talk about, praying the price. And one of the people in our small group designed the logo. And then if you like the shirt, Beth Manis, her daughter back there, will sell you a shirt for $15. So if you want to say you came, you saw, you heard, you bought the t-shirt, you have the opportunity to do that today. So it's I realize it's a whole nother level for me to go that far with things because I'd never really believed in putting a title to a sermon before I came here. But now I'm putting a t-shirt with it too, so in my true form, I overdo it. But I'm so glad you're here today. I really, really am. I believe this is a word for the Lord that I've honestly been saving for 2 to 3 months. And Pastor Barry has asked me to speak and I blow him off all the time. So it's me. Trust me. I feel like, you know, when the Lord moves and says something, I'm the type of person that I want to make sure that the word that the Lord gives me is what needs to be right now. And what I love about the pastoral staff here is when you heard our worship pastor up there with the song selection today, and then what you heard Pastor Barry say in the verse that he used, that goes along exactly with what I'm going to tell you today, which I'm excited about. I told my wife, I said, this is proof that this is the time, because the Lord is taking the people here to a new place, not just physically, but spiritually. And it applies to everyone in the house that will hear it. And that's why I'm excited. At the beginning of the year, during my fast, the Lord showed me that the remnant this year is going to have a voice. That the remnant will not be silent anymore. That we will have the courage and the boldness to speak up and say something when it's time to say something. And I love this year, we've talked about it already, about how the church is rising up this year in certain states. The other thing that I prayed was, Lord, I want to see more miracles this year than I have during the first part of my life. And he's been obliging. He has been coming through. People that I've been praying for on the phone at work, and I hope you have the ability to do things like that, or stop where you're at out in public, when go up to people and say something when you're led to do it. Because today I'm going to talk to you, as you can see in the shirt, praying the price. So there's two things going on here. It's our prayer life. I'm going to touch one of the three rails of Christian conduct that people typically don't like. Because on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was telling them all, when you pray, when you give, when you fast. And if you talk to a Christian today, when you start talking about those three things, they're like, yeah, I know about that, but you're not necessarily doing it. And I think every important decision that you make in life should include every one of those three things. There should be an offering. There should be some praying and fasting involved. After all, Jesus is our model. And that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to hop right in it. So John 14:12-14, he says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So really, that's true then, huh? Whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. And this has been a verse that I've been looking at all year long because I believe that. I'm going to say I dare to believe that, that we should be doing greater things than Jesus did while he was here. Another key verse, Luke 6:40. A student, Jesus was teaching his disciples here, and he came down to this point, and when I read this verse, I'm like, wow. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who was fully trained will be like his teacher. Now, you can spend a month studying this verse, and I highly recommend doing that. And I hope you're taking notes today. There's pens all over the place. You should write some of these verses down, because if you go back and look at these things, it'll wreck you. Because when you realize that Jesus Christ, who was fully God, fully man, is saying, you can be like me when you're fully trained. So, that begs the question, if we're to be like Jesus in power and authority, then we also have to be like Jesus in holiness, in faith, consecration, compassion, fasting, fellowship with believers. We have to be like him in that side, and that's the part that we don't like. Because, again, we have to do something now. We can't be lazy. No more lazy Christianity. The Lord is showing where we're going here. And it's not the physical, just the physical. It is the spiritual place with the Father. And our job is to take as many people with us as we can. And what better way to do it than to demonstrate the power of the living God? I really want this to sink in. We have to do the prayer. It's important. I'm focusing on just the prayer today, as you can tell. But then you say, well, wow, I have to be holy like Christ is holy. The Bible says that in multiple places. So it is possible for you to do it. You can be holy just like Jesus Christ was holy. God the Father defined what a perfect person is in Job 1:8. He said, have you considered my servant Job, who fears God and avoids evil? Those two things. All he had to do was he was so in awe of God and knew God was all powerful. I mean, a guy who was giving offerings for his kids in case they sinned and he didn't know it. So a guy who had passion for Christ and avoided evil at all costs. I could say it this way, avoid sin at all costs. Who looked at his life and said, Lord, I don't want any sin to be in my life. Now we're going to look at the prayer life of Jesus real quick. There's a lot of verses here. So Luke 5:15 and 16. Here Jesus just healed a man with leprosy and he said, don't tell anybody, but go show yourself to the priest. But he went and told everybody anyway. It says, yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6:12. Similar things, miracles happening. He draws away for a while. One of the days Jesus went out to a mountain to pray and spent the night praying to God. So there's 25 scriptures I can give you on how Jesus prayed and what he did, but I'm giving you two here. But there's a whole bunch to look up on the importance of these different things here. He spent the night praying to God. And then you know what he did after he spent all night in prayer? He picked the 12 disciples. I think that's pretty important, don't you? And then he went down and healed people from four towns. Everybody was coming at him. He was healing 100% of everybody who came to him. That because it says that people felt the power of God coming out of him. Guess what? That's you. That's us. That should be us. And I challenged our small group at this to find the pull yourself away, like when life keeps going on and you know you have to pull yourself away to pray. You need to do it. It doesn't matter what your schedule says. We have to be willing to ditch our schedule. I need to go pray right now. Maybe instead of responding, you should just go pray. And say, I wonder what the Lord would say about this. And I challenged our small group. I gave everybody a task. I gave them an assignment. We're going to pray all night. You're each going to get a half hour, lead a session. And the Lord did a miracle with one of the people in our group that night. A physical healing miracle. And I know for me it was proof that it's not just something to say you did. And it's not something so hard you can't do it. Because believe me, I dealt with all the objections. I can't stay up that late. That's why God made coffee. That's why we're going to do it. But believe me, I dealt with all the excuses. I don't have time to go into all of them. But we all make excuses, right? You should give like this. Oh, but Lord, I got all these expenses coming up. You should pray like this. Oh, I can't stay up past 10 o'clock. I'll just turn into a pumpkin. Red Bull and Krispy Kreme. We will keep you going. Promise. Fast, but Lord, I need those donuts. No, you don't. You need Jesus more than you need that donut. So depending on what we're doing, we will do one or all three. If we can live our life in that way. But I'm going to have the person who experienced a miracle from God that night. I want you to hear the testimony from it, because it's the testimony and the blood of the Lamb that defeats the work of the enemy. And I want you to hear from her, because these are miracles that are happening with people that you know. Come on up, Donna. I want you to think about this. This is somebody you know. Tell everybody what Jesus did for you.
Okay, well, I'm gonna try to make it through without crying, because anybody who knows me, that Kleenex box is my friend. Anyway, like I said, my name's Donna. We went to this overnight prayer vigil. Now, I did not make it through the night. I was one who didn't have coffee and donuts. So, throughout the night, we had a session where we prayed for people for healing. And I have dealt with a medical condition for probably all my life. I didn't realize it, but it impacted my life for about 30 years. And so when they asked if I needed healing, I was like, yes, I need healing. I witnessed this same healing happen about 35 years ago to a lady, and I was about 12. Yes, I'm 54 if you want to do the math there. I witnessed it. But at 12 years old, you don't really realize the impact of healing. And I'm thinking, wow, God healed this woman of this condition. Well, her condition was she had one leg longer than the other. And I've dealt with it, and I just lived with it. It didn't, you know. So anyway, I thought, if God can do it for her, he can do it for me. Because God doesn't just pick and choose people. If you have the faith and you go up and you ask God for healing, he's going to heal. He's our healer, Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. He is our God. Nothing he cannot do. So anyway, I sat down in the chair, and Kelly placed her hands on my feet and put them together. And so I closed my eyes, and I sat there as still as I could, or thought I could. And they began to pray, and I felt, I don't even know how to explain it. I felt movement in my body. I felt it in my lower back. And there is no other explanation for that, because I said, well, I was probably squirming a bit. And they said, no, you were perfectly still. And I was probably shaking, and they didn't see it. But they prayed over me, and I felt the hand of God heal me. I opened my eyes. I still felt hands on my feet, but Kelly's hands were not there. So I know it was Jesus' hands still on my feet. I physically felt it. Thank you, Jesus. This isn't something that I can make up, because I know my body and I know how it reacts. And I was just in awe and amazed at what took place and how I felt afterwards. So for any of you that have a physical, emotional, or spiritual healing that needs to take place, I would encourage you to ask God for that healing, because it will happen. It will happen. Mine was instant. It may not happen instant, but mine was. So thank you, God.
Yes. When I asked her that night afterwards, because she being in the moment, sometimes you don't remember everything that's being spoken, but she had told us what it was to pray for, and we were praying that the Lord would move her bones in the right position. That was the words we were using. Lord, move her bones in the right place so that the legs are the same length. And yeah, she felt the power of God, but you were as still as like a statue. I never saw her move the whole time, but God was the one moving. He is the one that did the work. I love it. I told her, she didn't tell anybody for 2 weeks after it happened. She would come over to the house, I'm like, who did, I said, you tell your family and everything? No, I didn't tell anybody. Nobody knows. I'm like, you gotta tell people. So when I was telling her about my time today, I said, I want to tell, is it okay if I share your story? She goes, no, I want to tell everybody. I'm like, okay. We've gone from I'm telling nobody to give me the microphone. So I love it. That's what I love about that, Donna. You were so cracked me up over all this. But we need to challenge. I want to challenge you the same way. You can do it with a group of people, but you need to do it by yourself too. You need to know from God when to pull yourself out of life and pray. And you need to know when to pull yourself out when you got big decisions. Maybe you need to pray all night. I'm not making light of this. I really believe that we don't do it enough, which is why I'm bringing it back up, because I believe it's a lost thing for us to put God ahead of our schedules, to put God ahead of our life, truly ahead of our life. And Mark 6, 30 to 31, giving you another one. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. So this is after he sent them out. Then because so many people were coming and going that they didn't have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So when Pastor Barry was mentioning something similar this morning, I'm like, wow, tag team preaching with everybody here. I love it. God has orchestrated this service already in advance, knowing that each one of you, when I was praying this morning, I said, Lord, bring the people that need to hear this word today. And I believe it's not an accident that you're here today. You could have been somewhere else, but you're here today to hear about this. I want to show you how important prayer is. We all know prayer is important, but I want you to get the level of how important. Jesus and the disciples were praying, healing, delivering people, skipping food, and then he said, we got to get out of here. Prayer was even more important than to continue praying and healing people. Prayer was more important than you getting a full night's sleep. But you know what? They wouldn't leave him alone still. Let's get in the boat and get out of here. Pastor Barry often retreats to a boat. He goes, I'm going to the boat. Not the gambling boat, the one that takes him on a cruise. I'm just clarifying that in case we have... Don't worry, they have that there too. But Pastor Barry tries to retreat to a boat also, following in the steps of Jesus. But you know what? People don't even leave him alone when he goes on his retreats. They bother him all the time. The music's too loud. Lights aren't bright enough. Somebody didn't say hi to me. Beth stabbed me. They said they didn't like the blues. I mean, come on. So so he's got to hear about all that, and it's not really truly rest. But even Jesus tried to do the same thing, and the people saw them get in the boat to try to leave, escape. And then they followed him on land. They didn't even give Jesus a break either. So see, if Jesus didn't get a break, you don't get a break. But remember, a student is not above the teacher. We are not above him, but we can be like him. But if we were operating in God's power without praying like he prayed, then we would be above the teacher. Do you see that? If you do nothing and say, well, I used Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. It's not a magic word. It's not. It is something, it's authority out of relationship. I want you to see that. That is where we're going. All power and authority has been given, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus said. But then he said, and I will give you the verse for that so you can keep looking these up, Luke 10:19-20, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Interestingly enough, however, do not rejoice in the spirits that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do you believe we're not even supposed to get excited about a demon being cast out? We're supposed to be excited that we're going to heaven. That's the perspective here. Jesus was modeling a lifestyle. And he said, you can be like me. But we can't be above him. I just want us to get to be like Jesus. Can we go there? I want to challenge you to be like Jesus. Let's live our life like he did. He had an advantage being fully God because he knows more than you. He created everybody. But it doesn't mean that we still can't do greater works than him, because otherwise the word would be false here, right? It would be a lie. But it says you can do greater works. You should expect God to use you to heal somebody instantly. Now I know I got another miracle story to share with you. He's not here today in person. I wish he was so he could tell you. But my son Matthew, you heard him speak on Burundi Sunday if you were here, deliver a message on the love of the Lord that was awesome. And he spends time with God this way. And when he got out to his summer job, they have a Christian camp that he's at, and they bring father sons or father daughters. They have special weeks. It's one parent and one kid for a week-long session, and they all pray over them. They get assigned people that are coming in advance, and they pray for them. It's a really neat camp. It's all about having God encounters out in the woods. And they got the staff together to pray, and they were teaching on how Christ was a servant and had compassion and was dedicated to people, and they paired everybody up to take turns washing their feet. So these are all young men that are 18 to 22. So they paired them up with somebody, and they were after his feet were washed, they switched places. And so he was praying for this young man. And when I was talking to him, it's funny, I mean, funny, but it's just so interesting how God does things. Because he told me right before then, you know, I just was drawn to Ephesians 1, Dad. I've just been studying that chapter. And I was studying the exact same chapter that week before also. Spent the whole week in it. And he goes, I was washing this young man's feet, and I started to pray Ephesians 1 over him. That the eyes and ears of his spiritual understanding will be open, and he will know the power that we have, is one of the verses. So when he prayed at that moment, he goes, I pray that your spiritual eyes and ears be open. He snapped his fingers really loud. And the kid jumped. And he goes, he told them later that when he snapped his fingers, praying for his spiritual eyes and ears to be open, power of God went through the back of his head, out his deaf ear. He didn't know his ear was deaf. And now he has 100% hearing out of that ear. Isn't that awesome? Instant. And yeah, you could be praying for somebody spiritually and they get a physical healing because it happened with him. I think that's awesome. I think that's so awesome. So in Ephesians, when Paul was praying for them, that Ephesians 1 is a great prayer to pray for people. That I pray that you understand the power that God's given you. I pray that your spiritual eyes and ears are open to hear what God is doing and what he's saying. I don't know of anything better to pray over another believer. But it's going to cost us something. And you've heard the verses about counting the cost in Luke 14, 25 to 35, where the summary is, you can read the whole thing later, right? Because it's not about you, right? It's about you serving God, following God. You have to follow his will and plan and destiny for your life more than what your parents think you ought to do. More than what your family means to you. Oh, I would do it, Lord, but my family needs me. No, we have to put what God wants in our life ahead of our family. That's a tough one for people. Building a tower. If you get halfway through, won't everybody ridicule you because you didn't count the cost first? Didn't you know you had enough money or not before you started building? Or a king going to war? If a greater force is coming against him, would he not try to evaluate, can I beat these guys? Uh-oh, we're going to lose. I better send somebody out and make peace right now. But we count the cost other areas. You know how much you're going to spend on vacation. Why don't we take a minute and say, if I'm going to truly follow God, be like Jesus, I need to sit down and say, maybe that means I won't be able to do everything that I want to do right now. Because maybe he doesn't want me to do that. Yes, you are going to have to spend some time with God on this. Have a journal book. Get up. Go away. By yourself. The hardest part for me is keeping my thoughts focused. Because when you finally get alone and things are quiet, you think about all the 20 things you didn't do or what you gotta do. That's why you take something to write with. Every time you think of something, you write it down on a piece of paper because that way you can set it aside. It takes me 5 minutes to detox my brain so that I can be still for a minute. I don't know if that's you. I'm the type A going 100 miles an hour all the time doing 5 things at once. I have to sit down, take a piece of paper, write it all down. It will be there when I'm done. That's what I have to do. Do whatever you have to do that works for you. You will notice in the Bible there's not an exact, here's step one, here's step two. Because what works for me may not work for you. But you have to find out what works for you. You have to know when to pull yourself away. You know when that outburst of anger is coming. You know what? I'm going to go pray. Catch you later. Right? Because it's about controlling the sin in our life. We have to live our life in a way that we attack sin at any area in our life. And in just in case you don't know, there's a whole bunch of them. It could be pride, arguing, being stubborn and unteachable, criticizing other people, lusting after things or people, being dishonest, selfish, lack of concerns, sexual sins, you name it, racism, insulting other people. There's a whole bunch. We need to, if any of those jumped out at you, you need to deal with that sin in your life. Because remember, the power and authority that was given to Christ by the Almighty is now being given to us. It's a chain of authority and relationship. If you don't have a relationship with God to the point where you believe he is more important than the sin in your life, well, I mean, this is not going to apply to you. I'm just being honest. I'm not going to give you the feel good, you know, just say you're sorry and move on or whatever, hyper grace stuff. I just, that stuff's terrible. I believe living your best life now, I'll throw Joel under the bus a little bit here, is when you commit to getting rid of all the sin in your life and saying, I want you, Lord, more than what I want. And I will set myself aside for you and pray and read and fast and give and participate in Christian conduct as you want me to. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but the Lord knows when you're trying to get rid of sin in your life. He's the one that knows. I want us to be the Christians that have the power and authority when we are out there talking to people and doing things in the world. Not just to say, oh, that's a nice person, it's a Christian person. No, I want people to look at you and go, I know you know the answer. I don't feel good right now, but I know if you pray for me, I'm going to be healed. There's a spirit oppressing me. I know that if you pray for me, it'll be gone. Think about what Jesus was trying to do with the disciples, and they were really hard to work with too. But his goal was to make all of them like him, so that when the 12 went out, it was like 12 Jesus Christ walking around. Just imagine if everybody in here grabbed a hold of this and says, you know what, I'm going to put my plans aside. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna set aside time to pray and just be with God and listen. It's not you yapping to God the whole time either. I know a lot of people that do that. They sit and they talk to God and complain to God. And what about this and what about that? I've prayed, you know, I'm not getting an answer on this. How about you just sit down, detox your brain, and then just sit there and listen to the birds or the breeze go by. It's very therapeutic. I would have gone postal by now if that was not the case. Let me tell you. Because I know me. And I want everybody in here to live their best life now. And this is the level. This is what Jesus said, here's your best life. And you know what? Counting the cost is really easy when you have your very first God encounter with someone. Someone says something to you and you say, can I pray for you? Sure. And you pray for them and they feel God come on them. I tell you what, to me, it makes counting the cost easy, because when you have the pleasure of the Lord using you to do a miracle in someone's life, or for them to get an immediate answer, when you prayed and that word came out, that was my answer that I've been waiting for months. When you have that satisfaction of saying, wow, Lord, that was awesome. I didn't know that was going to happen today. To me, it's easy when you have that first one, because you know what? I want the next one. Let's do it again. Who's next? Who else needs a miracle? And that's my motivation. It's not, oh, I want to be able to do my hobby fun stuff all the time. It's, no, I will willingly sacrifice that because I want the next moment when God moves. That's why I think it's easier than we think, praying this price. I took, obviously, you can see there's a little bit of a pun there, but it's paying the price, but it's also praying the price, because really, our prayer life is going to be what determines where we are with God and where we are in using his authority. So I will wrap up with this. I can't even believe how much. Oh, my gosh. Time evaporates in this room. But maybe, yeah, I know how you feel. You can't get it all done. But we will eventually get into the authority part, because that's a whole nother message. There's a whole lot of messages here. Oh, do I get to come back? Do I get to visit again? Well, thanks for having me, Pastor Barry. Well, I hope you feel adequately challenged today. I really do. I hope that you heard this and said, you know what? I'm sharpening my prayer life. I'm doing it. I'm going to move some things around and I'm going to dedicate myself to prayer and I'm going to hear God. And when I go places, I'm going to listen to what he's saying and I'm going to follow directions. Because once you have the first encounter, that's so powerful. All the good stuff is not in our past. I feel like I should say that. It is not in our past. Jesus said the best is yet to come. Just think, there's no such thing as glory days. It's about the glory that's coming. Glory upon glory, wave upon wave. That's what the Bible says. It only gets better as time goes on. It never gets worse. If you are saying or catching yourself, man, I remember when the move of God was great back here, then that's proof that we're not living right. Because if we're living right, the best things are happening right now. The next time you snap your fingers, someone's ears are healed. That's what I'm talking about. That is living for the next moment. Lord, what is the next miracle? I want the next healing. I want the next thing. Don't you want the next thing? Lord, I pray today that these words will not fall on deaf ears. And I believe that every word spoken will not return void. I believe that we speak the word and people will hear. I declare that their spiritual eyes and ears are open to see you, Lord, to hear what you want them to do, to have the prompting of the Holy Spirit. This is a time you need to go pray. Be with me. I believe we will hear the voice of the Lord speak to us individually. Whatever sin that we are dealing with, I know that the power of God is above every sin, everything that can be named. Whatever roadblock, obstacle, whatever illness or disease you're dealing with, or whatever physical ailments, whatever oppressions you're dealing with, I believe the power of God is above all of it. I declare that you here today are healed of the Lord in Jesus' name. I believe that more miracles are coming, not only for the people in the house, where I believe that's where the Lord starts, but the goal is to take these miracles and give them to the people outside of this room. I thank you, Lord, for the miracle testimonies of new people that are coming because we dared go up to them and pray and say, can I pray for you? Can I talk to you? Can I say something to you? I thank you, Lord, for those opportunities that are coming. I thank you for more testimonies that the devil will get beat with. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for blessing us today and challenging us to be like Jesus Christ, to dedicate ourselves to prayer, fasting, giving of ourselves. Thank you, Lord. I know that every need is met in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.